good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Wednesday right in the middle of your week. Wednesday, August 22nd, 2018. You're tuned into the Now program. I'm Scott Spears with you for the next 2 hours. Now, we have got a little bit of housekeeping here to do before we get to our guest, who is one of my favorite guests. But I want to let you know what's coming up in the next couple days here. On Friday morning, from 11:10 until 1 o'clock, we are going to be joined for our weekly wrap-up roundtable discussion of news and events by 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. Treasurer of the United States under President Bill Clinton. She'll be live in studio Friday from 11:10 in the morning until 1 p.m. And with everything going on politically, I'm sure she'll have some stuff to say Friday morning. Now, coming up tomorrow on this program at 12:15, we're going to be joined by Dr. Ronald Fineman. He's an author, political scientist, historian, to discuss everything that's going on, kind of explain it to us in the world of current events. And tomorrow at 1:10, we're going to be joined by legendary singer and television performer that you probably remember best from the hit TV series Hee Haw. Lulu Roman will be with us tomorrow. And coming up next hour, because yesterday was a historic day in the news, no doubt about it, to catch us up on all that is a panelist on the long-running television series The McLaughlin Group and reporter for The Daily Beast, Eleanor Clift, stationed in Washington, D.C. She'll be with us next hour to catch us up on everything that's been going on. But this hour, we're going to visit with one of our favorite guests. She has become a regular on this program now, and we could not be happier. She is the maven of helpful hints, the queen, really. Nobody better than Heloise. Heloise, how are you?
Well, good day to you, and that was a fabulous introduction. Could I drag you along to all my speeches so that you could introduce me?
You know, I came in this morning, and I had to do that whole schedule from memory. I forgot my paper back in the office.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, can we announce?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. That, one, I love doing your show. We've known each other a long time. And we're going to start having me on every month, once a month. And what do we say, the third Wednesday?
The third Wednesday.
The third Wednesday of the month. And in the old jargon, and it's still in radio, but it used to be in television, it's called appointment radio. So that your listeners will know that the third Wednesday of every month, I'm going to be on the show.
And we could not be happier, because the truth is, I know nothing about how to do anything.
Come on, Scott.
I can turn on the microphone. That's about it.
You know, when you said that, when I used to have a national radio show for 3 years, and they sent me, I did most of it out of my house. My husband built part of a studio for me. But when I traveled, I had to carry the equipment. And they were like, well, we'll send you a manual. I'm like, okay. Well, my father was an Air Force pilot. My brother was a mechanical engineer, an aeronautical engineer. I am one of the few people in the world who actually reads the manual.
Oh.
Yeah, oh. Yeah, no, oh. And I read the manual 3 or 4 times. I starred what I needed to know. And then I did, as pilots do, is I did my checklist. You know, you don't just jump in the airplane and say, okay, let's go. You have a checklist. You know, do we have engines? Yes, we do. Do we have fuel? Yes, we do. And so I made up my checklist and posted it, carried one with me, and rather than the whole manual, and posted it, thumbtacked it up above where my mic is. Well, when there were problems, and you know what it's like, you know, I would be connecting with a radio station somewhere else, and they would be on a different frequency, and we'd have to change to GDOC22 and all this stuff. And I got really good at it. Well, there were 2 times, honest to heavens, because the network engineers, they change. You know, they're not there 24/7, 7 days. And there'd be a new engineer that would come in, and they've got different equipment and everything. The network lead engineer, God bless him, Brian Rose, called me and said, Heloise. I'm like, yeah. He said, could you copy and email us your checklist? And I said, sure. And I said, fine. And so apparently my checklist is still up there.
Well, see, you're prepared. Now, see, I'm the exact opposite. And two things sparked to mind when you were telling that story. When I was in radio, one of the first people I ever had on radio with me was B. Arthur from Gold. Yes. And she passed away, I think it was in 2009. And it was over the weekend. So we did some tribute shows to her, and I had called Rue McClanahan to do a tribute to B. Arthur. And we had to tape it on a Saturday. So I went into the radio station on a Saturday to tape this for Monday morning. And here in Ohio, of course, we have the Cleveland Indians. And they were playing a game on that Saturday afternoon. And I went in and I taped this about 15-minute interview with Rue McClanahan, remembering B. Arthur.
Yes.
And I'm over and I realized I have knocked the Indians game off the air for 15 minutes. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Oh, they weren't happy with me that day.
Oh, my gosh.
That was, so that came to mind. And then the other one was recently we went to Pittsburgh to cover the Mr. Rogers stamp unveiling from WQED, which is the first public television station in the United States.
Wow.
And I called back to the studio to let them know that we were going to, you know, be coming on a little after 12. And we did the show from 12 to 1 from WQED. But something happened back in the studio,
oh, no.
And they never turned us up.
Oh, no.
So something aired here, but I tell you, the show we did, it was a heck of a show.
It was, although no one heard it, it was probably the best show you've ever done, right?
Oh, if I was going to send anything into the Emmy committee, that would have been the one.
You know what the lesson here is, and it's sort of the hint from Heloise of the day, is regardless of what you're doing, if it's something that takes more than 2 to 3 or 4 steps, maybe you're, and I have a fudge recipe I want to share, but maybe you're baking something for the first time, or you're plugging something into your computer, or you're reconfiguring something, or you're trying to deal with the cable box. See, I have, because we have, 3 televisions that are, you know, on cable. Well, the remote for each of them is a little bit different. I have no idea why. I'm going to pass a law that the remotes should be simple. Well, I actually wrote down on the booklet, you know, press this, go here, go here. Because there's sometimes I'll go there and either my sweet puppy dog, Shammy, the silky Wheaton that we got from the Humane Society, will jump up on the couch, and somehow she manages with her paw to touch the remote, and all the buttons go wacky.
Oh.
So I have my little checklist there. So particularly if you're doing something for the first time, now not something that you've done all your life, you get up in the morning, you make put the coffee on the coffee pot, you don't even have to think about that. But if you have a new piece of equipment, maybe a new appliance, or you're trying something for the first time, write the steps down. Trust me, you will be thankful later. And I'll share one other. I do a lot of speeches and presentations, really, for home and garden shows, things like that. And it's a little bit different bent. It's about doing things around your house, and if you're repairing something or you want to paint a room, you know, don't just either go get a small can of paint, take a white poster board, paint the poster board, and then thumbtack it up on the wall. Look at it for a day or two. Because now it's not going to be the exact color that you're painting the wall, but you'll get to see what it looks like in morning daylight. say mid-afternoon when the sun moves, or in winter when there is no sun. And so it's like, let's go through a test here. So one of the ones I did, and usually there's like, I don't know, 400, 500, 600 people in the audience, and half are men. You know, they're there with their wives, or they're there by themselves, or the wife is the one who does the painting. And I always said, now, here's the hint. If you are repairing something and you need a part, either, if you can, take that part with you to the hardware store or Home Depot or Lowe's or something, or take a photo and then go, because there are a million stories. And the hardware guy came up to me afterwards, and he said, oh, Heloise, you're so right. We can see them on a Saturday or Sunday. They come in, they're looking at parts, they buy a part, they come back an hour later, it was the wrong part.
Mm.
And then they buy another part, and they come back an hour later, and it's still not the right part. He said, oh, we can see them. So here's the hint from Heloise. If you can, take the part with you. If you can't, at least take a photo of it. And do not hesitate or be embarrassed to ask someone that works there. You know, I'm repairing the toilet from something or other, and the flapper valve, this is it, but this is what it looks like. Because there are different types. Remember, I'm married to a retired plumbing, heating, and air conditioning contractor. And he's the one that taught me that.
You know,
anytime he repairs something, I am right there. I may not understand it all. And here's the other hint. If you have a repair person come to your home to fix something, all right, you stand, you're not being obnoxious, but stand there and watch what they do. Because the next time, you'll either understand it, or you might be able to fix it yourself.
Yeah, this is good, because when I go to the store, no matter which store it is, arts and crafts store, grocery store, parts store, I always see people on the phone at the counter,
yes,
causing a bottleneck, because they're calling back home to say, now, what was it I needed? It happens constantly.
I know. And today, with most people, you know, do have a cell phone. And if you look in your cell phone, there's a place that might say notes, or you can start your own shopping list. So in the middle of the day, when you suddenly remember, oh gosh, I need to get cinnamon sugar or paprika or something, you can just add it to the list. I'm still kind of old-fashioned. I like writing it down. I take my notepad into the pantry, and I look, and I say, okay, I'm out of peas, and I need this, and I need that. You know, but I know, but you're right. And nothing's worse than, I shouldn't chuckle, but you'll see them standing in the grocery aisle. If somebody says, well, just get Italian dressing, right?
Mm.
They're standing in the grocery aisle. Do you know how many brands of Italian dressing there are?
That's it.
And there are light, there's light Italian dressing.
Oh.
And they're standing there going, But it's, you know, Scott, it's part of life. And you and I have talked, you know, off air, that life today is... Can be very busy. We all have a lot going on in different arenas, and it can be very stressful. And if it calms you to say, no, I've got my checklist, or I have the standard list that we use when we go shopping, and a lot of people do this, they have, if you out on the internet, there are a lot of grocery lists. You can do that as your master list, and then you can just check off, yes, we need milk, 1%. We need this, you know, margarine, butter, diet, okay, this. And it relieves that stress level. And the final hint is, and this was my mother's, is that on issues like that, or maybe you haven't been able to vacuum or dust or something, No one is going to take your birthday away. It's okay. You can wait another day. Excuse me. Sorry, I'm in San Antonio, Texas, and we have high allergy here. So just the hint from Heloise, okay? Unless it's life-threatening. Now, that's a little different. But if it doesn't get done, you can do it tomorrow.
Well, you know, I am a low-stress person, but here is what I have decided in the summer of 2018 here in the Midwest. Because in the Midwest, a lot of people roll down their windows in the summer when it's not a terribly hot day and they don't have the air conditioning on. And every morning when I come to the radio station, I stop and I get a beverage at usually a fast food place, just a simple beverage,
mm-hmm.
and I wait in the line. Now, I'm a people watcher because I'm curious, and I can hear the person usually in front of me in the line who's hanging me up when I'm running behind, and this is the discovery I have made in the summer of 2018. I don't think that you should be able to special order at the fast food place. That if you just you have to take it as it is. If you don't like the whatever on the hamburger or
yep.
whatever, you just take it off yourself.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You're absolutely right. And is this like Lewis and Clark? We've discovered. And the other thing would be, I would look behind me. If there's nobody behind me, there's not a line, then I may special order. But you're right. Just order it the way it is, and you can take off what you don't want. Now, some people might consider that wasteful. So it's your call, but the bottom line is, yeah, don't hold up the line behind you, particularly in the morning if people are waiting to get coffee. Oh, no.
Well, that's it, because I wonder sometimes, because they have particularly large orders, and I understand that. There's more than one person in the car. But, you know, at some point, we have to draw the line. You know, because this isn't Spago's. You know, you got to relax a little bit, and you got to take what you're ordering. I'm not even sure if they really wanted what they order. They order things, you know, give me the burrito, but hold the chicken and the lettuce. What did you want?
Then basically you're ordering a tortilla with beans and rice.
It's beyond me. I tell you, that is my new pet peeve. I'm not a defensive or an offensive, I don't know what you would call it, driver. You know, I'm good in traffic. I'm good in all situations. But that ticks me off.
Well, everyone has a pet peeve. That's why in my newspaper column, you know, we have a subhead, usually on Mondays, we call it sound off. Okay, it's a pet peeve. It's a sound off. And it's the reader's chance to say, this really bugs me. And for others, and then I'll make a comment saying, you know, many people agree with you. Here might be a solution. And some of them may seem simple or silly to other readers, but to the people that it bugs, it's important. Now, I, you know, travel a lot. Thankfully, I've been home for about a year. But when I really am traveling, I'm in a different city every day. I'm on an airplane every day, sometimes twice a day. And there are times, you know, I'm on book tour and I'm in like, oh God, Cincinnati. There's a triangle you do. And one time I actually woke up and I thought, where am I? Like, well, one of my pet peeves, and I usually stay at the same chain of hotels throughout the book tour if I can, but it's always, and this is important too, is for me, but also for people who are going on vacation or something, is get me as close to my first TV or radio interview as possible. I may love XYZ chain, but it's 20 miles away. And so when you stay in the same chain, I woke up one time and I was like, where am I? Okay, And I rolled over, and I pulled out the phone book and the notepad. It didn't say the city. It just said XYZ hotel chain. And I'm like, I actually called the operator, and I said, and this is like 4 in the morning because I have to be up at 6 or something, and I said, hi, this is going to sound silly, but I'm a weary traveler. What city am I in? And God bless her. I was in Cleveland, and she knew me. She knew my voice, and she said, Heloise, you're in Cleveland. And you're she knew. She said, you're doing morning exchange at 9 a.m. She knew. And I said, I can't remember her name. It's either Elizabeth or, and I said, thank you. Went back to sleep. So from that, those experiences, I finally got to the point where I would put my travel itinerary next to the bed, circle where I was, and even on the notepad, I would write down Cleveland. And my husband called one time, and this is really funny, pre-cell phone. And I think I was in Chicago, because I always stay at there's a Hyatt downtown, because you can do all the stations. And my husband called and he said, you know, you called, yes. And he said, Heloise. And they said, we don't have a Heloise. And he said, Heloise Cruz? It was like, click, click, no, sir. Heloise Evans? That's David's last name. No, sir. And the operator finally said, sir, do you know who you're looking for? So anyway, tell me what else is going on up there.
Well, that's interesting because, you know, it's true. A lot of things can be problematic when you travel.
Oh, yes.
Oh, but you know what? Just when you said morning exchange, Dorothy Fulltime up in Cleveland.
I know her. I knew her.
You knew Dorothy?
Yes.
Oh, Dorothy was something else.
That woman, I would do that show just to go chat with her. Because after the show, that flaming red hair.
Oh, boy.
And I'd go into her office, and we would sit and chat. Now, for those of you who don't know, this woman actually interviewed Adolf Hitler.
Yes.
She did, correct?
Yeah, well, you got it.
See, I say that to people, and they're like, oh, come on. I said, no, no, no. This woman was phenomenal, way ahead of her time, very gutsy, to the very end.
Oh. And the end was, I think she left television when she was 91.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that was the jewel that I took away from doing Morning Exchange. They used to run my vignettes, my TV vignettes. There were, you know, 60 seconds, here's a hint, something or other. Fred Griffiths.
Oh, yeah.
And to go and do the show, excuse me, and then get to talk to Dorothy is burned in my brain.
You know, it's unfortunate to me, being an Ohio person, that in a way she's been forgotten because, I don't think people understand it. It does go back to the Hitler thing, but she used to appear on the Johnny Carson show on national television,
yes.
This Cleveland, local Cleveland personality. Because of what she did. She was at the Kent State shootings. She interviewed everybody. Barbara Walters, you name it, she interviewed them. I believe she interviewed the Cleveland Diocese, who were not doing a lot of television interviews at that time. But Bob Hope.
Knowing her, she did.
Everybody who came through Cleveland, you had to talk to Dorothy.
You had to talk to Dorothy. And her interviews were intelligent, spot-on questions, and you have to remember the time. Let's go back in the dark ages. she would ask direct questions that nobody else would ask.
Oh, you know what's interesting? Just one more note here on Dorothy. The other day, I saw a clip of an old Phil Donahue show that Dorothy was on. Would have been in the early 80s, because she was probably 90 at the time. And she was on the show. The show was about female first, because she was the first real female news anchor. And they had the first female mayor, and it was about female pilot. And this show, like I say, is in the early 80s. And Phil says, well, do you think we'll ever see a female president? And the only one on the panel who said, not for at least 40 years, was Dorothy. All the other ones said, oh, of course we will. Mm-hmm. Well, here we are.
Here we are.
Here we are. So Dorothy was quite ahead of her time when she was working, and she worked right up to 91. What I think is interesting about this time of year, when it comes to helpful hints, two things are happening: Labor Day and back to school. Now, back to school comes with back to school clothing.
Oh gosh, yeah.
If somebody goes to school, and God forbid, goes out on recess, and gets a grass stain, or spill something at lunch on themselves, how do you salvage the clothes that are brand new?
Well, you know, if they're at school, forgive me, if they're at school, basically all they can do is go to the restroom, use a little soap and water, rinse it well with water, because they're at school. But when they get home, the most important thing is to point it out to whoever does the laundry, could be mom or dad, point out the stain so that it can be pre-treated with a pre-spotter, or you either take liquid laundry detergent. Even if you use powdered, you should have a bottle of the liquid. And you use that as a pre-spotter. So you kind of pour it on the stain, you rub it in a little bit, and you let it sit for a few minutes. Then you put it into the washer. Then when you take it out, if the stain is gone, the garment can go into the dryer. If the stain is not gone, don't put it into the dryer, particularly because high heat, whether it's hot water or the high heat from the dryer, will make the stain. It doesn't necessarily set it, but it makes it harder to remove. And when it comes to the dryer, because I worked with the International Fabric Care Institute and home appliance people, is people tend to think, like in the microwave or the oven, you know, the highest heat is the best. Not necessarily. Particularly in the dryer, and depending on the garments, it's better to use a lower heat setting and let it run longer than normal, rather than throw the garments in, set it on high heat, and set it to run. So it may take a little bit longer, but it's, one, gentler on the clothes, and they may not come out as wrinkled. Because if you use that really high heat, it's basically, you're toasting everything. Hmm. So lower temperature, longer time, is really better on the garment or the item you're washing and drying than high heat, shorter time.
That's interesting. Well, you know, one thing that I notice a lot of is when kids go back to school, they have a lot of white clothing. And when a white garment gets worn, it starts to, you know, change a little color, or mm-hmm. if you spill something on it, you have an issue. What's the best way to preserve a white garment or to get a stain out of it?
Well, this is one of my pet peeves, is you have to be very careful. Many garments, usually they're shirts that we buy now, or even bed linens, sheets, or bath towels that are white, really white. If you're really careful, go look at the care label, and it says, do not use chlorine bleach. Many of those white garments are manufactured with, it's a whitener and brightener. It's like an old-fashioned bluing. It's an optical illusion It's that white. If you use chlorine bleach, even correctly, that will counteract that, and the garment will start turning a little yellow. It's not that bright white. So you have to be really careful about those. And that's when you want to turn to an alternative. If you feel like you need some, not necessarily bleach, but most of the other products are made, it's basically hydrogen peroxide. Okay. Hydrogen peroxide is not a chlorine bleach. However, it will sort of lighten and whiten things. But so over time, that bluing that they put in that garment dissipates. It goes away. So if you've got a shirt or something that you really, really like, you know, be careful how you wash it. And I would hang it to dry rather than put it in the dryer. And I was standing in line, one of our discount stores that I just love, and I go and I kind of peruse. I'm not looking for anything, but I look at the sale rack and I'm like, oh, that's nice. You know, I don't necessarily need it, but it doesn't cost much. Or, oh yeah, I'm looking at that. And I was standing in line, and they had a sale on towels, and there was a woman in front of me, and she had like 6 white, big, fluffy bath towels. And then stacked on top of it was like the hand towels and then the washcloths. And I, you know, chatting. I've got my hat on. She doesn't know who I am. And I said, oh, wow. She goes, I know they had a sale. And I said, boy, those are pretty. And she said, yes, we have a beach house or something. And I said, did you look at the care label? Because one of my friends, and she said, what do you mean? I said, well, one of my friends, I am my own friend. you're not supposed to use bleach on these. And she turned around at me and said, what? I said, well, look at the care label. She hadn't read it. So she was going to spend $50 or more on all of this. And within 2 or 3 months, they're going to turn yellow. So whites you have to be very, very careful with.
Well, that's true. And what do you think the percentage is of people who don't read the labels?
Oh, my gosh.
I bet it's high.
Scott, no one's ever asked me that.
Oh, well.
You're good at your job.
Well.
I would probably venture to say very high. I would probably venture to say at least 80% probably do not read the care labels. And which is fine, but it takes you, what, 30 seconds to read a care label? And then at least you know how to treat the garment. And what happens, too, is you find something, and particularly your female listeners out there will know, you know, you find a great blouse or a shirt or a pair of jeans. Well, you wear it a lot at the beginning because you really like it. And then it may go back in the closet, and then you pull out later. Well, if you can't remember what the care label says, it takes you 30 seconds to read it, and that garment will be with you. I have a pair of jeans, now, don't guess, that are 30 years old.
Mm.
Yes, and believe it or not, I can still fit in them. They're a little tight. They're a little tight. But the key to keeping blue jeans blue is you turn them inside out when you wash them, when you launder them.
Oh, that's a good tip.
Yes, it is, because if you like them blue, you know, we kind of call them dress blue jeans here in Texas, and you want them to stay that blue, you turn them inside out when you wash and dry them. Because if you don't, just the fact of the garments kind of like rubbing up against each other, It's like mild abrasion. And then also, blue jeans, the dye that they use, depending on the jean and the manufacturer, it is going to bleed. It is going to, at the beginning, it that's just, I did a column on it years ago. Oh my gosh, the manufacturers, oh, you should have seen the letters I got. But at the end, they said, well, you're right. So it's, even though it's a permanent dye, over time, it's going to dissipate. So if you really, really like them, turn them inside out, and they'll stay as blue as possible.
You know, I remember a few years ago reading an article that said once you wear your jeans, that you should never wash them.
What?
Yeah, I read that somewhere. That you should not wash them because when you buy jeans, no matter what size you are, they're not going to fit you perfectly.
Fine.
So once you get into them, they contour to you, and if you wash them, they will shrink.
I'm going to use a polite term here, bull hockey.
I read this article. I don't know who wrote it, but I'm sure I read that.
That makes no sense whatsoever. Because if the jeans are dry and you put them on, the only way they might contour to your body is if you, I don't know, happened to be Gene Kelly and got caught in the rain. That makes no sense whatsoever. I'm sorry. I'm trying to figure this out.
Here it is. I had to check on it. Levi's CEO Chip Berg claimed machine washing is completely unnecessary, but science demands you should wash your jeans every 4 to 6 days. So I don't know.
No, that makes no sense. I would. It makes no sense in the fact of you can't say 4 to 6 days. You may only wear them once. Well, what are you going to do? Go to your closet and pull them out 6 days later and wash them? Now, if you wear them every day, that might be. And it depends. You know, there's so many variables. If you put them on and you're going shopping or you're going to lunch with the girls or out to a movie or something, they're not getting dirty, dirty, dirty. Now, if you're here in Texas and you work on a ranch or a farm and you're out there, they're getting dirty. Those need to be washed.
It's interesting.
Scott, do me a favor.
Yeah.
Can you have you or your producer forward me that quote?
Yes. Yes,
okay.
Because
I really want to do some heavy research on this. Because, you know, what I do and my staff that have worked with me for a long time and over the many years is we do heavy, heavy, detailed research. And when I talk to them, they now know the mantra is one quote is not enough. It's like in journalism. One source is not enough. I need two or three. And if you get two concur and the third one disagrees or has a little bit different advice, then what I do is I write the answer or the column to say, here's what XYZ says, and then, but, here's what XYZ, you know, Dr. So-and-so says. You make the call.
I remember reading that and thinking, that can't be right. But, you know, I'm willing to try anything just once. I'll buy it. But at some point, they have to go in the washing machine.
Yeah, I would hope so.
You know, you just can't go running around. Because then you really, people will stay away from you in the thrift store. White towels or not, it won't matter. Everything will turn yellow. But the other thing I wanted to cover today, boy, time's going by fast, Labor Day. Because people will be having cookouts and get-togethers. It's the big blowout as summer leaves us here in the Midwest. But there's also a lot of trouble with this because you have the hot dogs and the hamburgers and the things like that and ketchup stains get places and mustard and tablecloths people put out that they throw them away because they can't get the stuff out of them. Can you save this stuff or is it best just to buy the plastic stuff?
If you're doing a Labor Day, your backyard, you're going to a barbecue or you're having a barbecue or a cookout or something, the people you invite are generally your family and friends. They know you. This is a time to make it as simple and easy on the host as possible. So the plastic tablecloths, those kind of things, I am all for. It's, you want to have an enjoyable time also. You don't want to be worried that, oh my God, somebody, you know, ketchup on the tablecloth. Oh my gosh, what are we going to do? So it's make it as easy and simple on the host as possible. So I'm for the plastic.
You know what worries me? When I go to somebody's house and they're having one of these all-day ventures, and I see this at usually Memorial Day, 4th of July, and Labor Day in particular. They have these dishes made with milk and eggs and things like that, like macaroni salad or potato salad or mayonnaise, you know, things that you would normally refrigerate. And they're out there all day. Now, can you leave that stuff outside all day?
I just had this discussion with a friend the other day. In the old days, and the concern is, as you said, something that's potato salad, something that's made with mayonnaise. In the old days, the general rule from the FDA, Food and Drug, is 2 hours. Now, if it's, you're here in South Texas where it's 110, we've had 101 degrees, by the way, 2 hours is really stretching it. But today, commercial mayonnaise generally has enough vinegar and other things in it that leaving it out for an hour in average temperatures, not in direct sun, that kind of thing, you're okay. So, but the hint is don't put the whole bowl out, meaning keep some in the house refrigerated or in the ice chest refrigerated, and only put out a little bit at a time, and then that way you're always replenishing it with fresh egg salad. And the number one rule is, when in doubt, don't. If it smells funny, if it kind of smells or tastes a little bit off, don't take a chance. But you're pretty safe with within a two-hour time frame under average conditions, not 110 in direct sun.
You know, that's like an idiosyncrasy that I have. I always smell my food.
Okay.
I do.
I don't blame you.
I don't know where that came from. I don't know if I ate something bad and it's programmed in my brain.
Probably.
But when I'm going through the restaurant now, when I'm, you know, taking stuff off because I didn't special order, I always smell it. I don't know why. It's a weird thing I have.
Well, let's put it this way. It does no harm. If it makes you feel more comfortable, go for it.
And this brings me to something interesting, because at these Labor Day get-togethers, deviled eggs are a big favorite.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also a little complicated if you don't know what you're doing, because getting the shell off the egg, oh boy, I'm telling you, that's a suicide contemplation. How do you do it? What's the right way to do it?
All right. If you're going to be making, the technical term is hard-cooked, although we all say hard-boiled eggs, to make deviled eggs. Okay. The older the egg, the better it is to use to make hard-cooked eggs, hard-boiled eggs, because there's an air pocket in there. Second, so if you're going to be doing that, okay, if they're, set the eggs out on the counter for a couple hours, put them in the pan. You want to fill the pan with water up to about 2 to 3 inches above the eggs. Then bring it to a boil, turn it off, put the lid on, and you let them sit anywhere from 15 to 18 minutes. Now what I do is I'll test one. Scoop one out, put it in a bowl or even the sink filled with cold water. If you really want to do it in a hurry, is, and there's a photo out there somewhere of me, is you pour the water off the pan, and you're gonna shake the pan around, and what that does is it cracks the eggshells. And there's a photo of me somewhere, actually I was flipping them in the air, and it worked, believe it or not. And then you fill the pan with cold water. If you have a lot of ice available, throw in some ice cubes. And that will cause the egg itself to kind of shrink a little bit. And many times, the shell itself will come off in one piece. If you have to start picking at it, you want to do it either under running water, and if you can get the water under, there's a thin membrane. It's clear. You'll know what I'm talking about. If you can get it under there, then it's easier to take them off, the shells.
One more, because last week we have here in Ohio what's called a Bratwurst Festival. And last week I
know what bratwurst is.
Oh, absolutely. And it's one of those picnic things you do on Labor Day. And I was at the Bratwurst Festival last week, and I learned for the first time, because a lot of people cook their bratwurst, they boil it, in beer. And I learned that does nothing from somebody who knew something about bratwurst. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, is that true? And also, I always hear people cooking with wine and things. Does the alcohol, is that just something we do as a, is it just a tradition? And it really means nothing.
Okay, bratwurst, it's encased in a skin, correct?
Yes.
Yes. All right. So that skin is pretty in I'm not going to go against tradition. Let's put it this way. Cooking it in beer can do no harm. I don't know whether it helps. What I would do is Heloise, and I would adore it if one of your listeners would do test a Heloise hint for me. Same stove, two pots, same bratwurst, do one just in water and do one in beer. And then test the difference. That's what I do here in my Heloise test kitchen. That's why my office is at one end of my home, because there's a question. I march down to the kitchen and I start pulling out the eggs and I do this and I do that and I test it as best I can, and I'll say, you know what, this works or this doesn't work. But it certainly can't hurt.
No,
and I'm you know, living in San Antonio, New Braunfels, Texas is about 25 miles up the road, and very German, Polish settlement, and still today. And so I've learned, don't go against tradition as long as it does no harm.
Sounds good to me. And I think now, people's Labor Day, they'll be able to get through it without any trouble, thanks to the Queen of Helpful Hints, Heloise. Heloise, it is always a pleasure, and I'm so glad we'll be doing this every month now, third Wednesday at 12:10 p.m. Eastern time here. And next time we talk, we'll be pretty close to cooler weather in this area.
Well, I look forward to it, and I would invite your listeners, if they have a particular question, they can email me, and my email address is very simple, Heloise, H-E-L-O-I-S-E, at heloise.com.
Perfect.
And if they'll put in the subject line, either your radio call letters or just Scott Spears, you know, that we'll be able to get to it right away. And then I can look at those and maybe answer one or two on air.
Ah, perfect. I love the idea. Heloise, you have a tremendous Labor Day, and we will talk again soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And we'll be back in a moment.
Along with Youth Group at the same time, we do have a mid